welcome to the recordings of the Oldies Literary Lunch at the National Liberal Club, kindly sponsored by Baillie Gifford Actual Investors, who take a long-term approach to investing in exceptional companies.
Our first speaker, James Reid, is the chairman and CEO of Reid. You all have heard of it, Britain's biggest recruitment brand. He's written 6 books, and he does the business podcast, James Reid, All About Business. And is here to talk about his new book, Karma Capitalism, Why Being a Good Business is Good Business. Ladies and gentlemen, James Reid.
Just getting organized.
Sorry, keep it so, really close, about far away. Yeah.
Someone said to me a long time ago, the more often you say yes, the sooner you'll be having an adventure. And I was thinking about this on my way here, because I said yes to this invitation when Amelia asked me a few months ago, and I'm already having an adventure. When I got close to the venue, I thought I'd better check the lineup of the other speakers. And when I did so and saw Andrew and Sinclair, my anxiety rose. And these are both esteemed authors. And Harry said to me, don't be unnerved, but Sinclair is a regular. When I was arriving up, for some reason, a picture came into my mind. I don't know if many of you have been watching the World Cup, but the picture that came into my mind was the Curaçao team walking out to play Germany. And I identified with that team once I'd seen the lineup today. And I don't know if you'd seen the result, but Curaçao went down gallantly, 7-1. But, I say but, and it's an important but, they scored a goal, much to the delight of their fans, and for 17 giddy minutes, they were 1-1 against Germany. And we were just dreaming, weren't we? Maybe this was the upset we were all hoping for. It wasn't to be, but today, Curaçao is my inspiration in talking to you. I have 10 minutes, so I don't need to last as long as them, and I hope to hit the target. So, Harry was kind enough to say that I'd written other books, and I think it's worth mentioning my book, Why You?, which I have here, which is the first book I wrote, which is a book about interviews. And I don't think of myself as an author. As Harry said, I run a business, a recruitment business, Reid. I'm a businessman, simply. But we wanted to do a book for people going to do job interviews that might help them get the job. And this is it. Why You? 101 interview questions you'll never fear again. We all know people at the moment who are struggling to find jobs. Please mention this book, because it really does help. And my favourite review of this book was 5 stars on Amazon and just 3 three-letter words, which were, got the job. So I love writing books, not because I'm a great author or particularly good at it even, but I'm very interested in ideas and solving problems. And my books, I think, have that in common. The Why You book, pleasingly, was translated into a lot of languages. And one of those languages was Korean. And I have the Korean edition, which I'm sure you will agree is very beautiful here. And the publisher in Korea, shortly before it was published, contacted me and said, I'm sorry to say, James, but 3 of the questions in the book are not culturally appropriate. Would you like to know what those questions were? Yes, I would. So one of them was, have you ever stolen a pen from work? That wasn't allowed in Korea. The next one was, tell me about a time you made a decision in the absence of your manager. That didn't go down well in Korea. And the third, very interestingly, was what do you think is the most searched for phrase on YouTube? Now, I think the Koreans thought there might have been a bit of an innuendo involved in that. But there wasn't. The most searched for phrase on YouTube is how to bake a cake, how to fix a carburetor. But they don't know that in Korea. And they asked me, would you submit three more questions to replace the ones that we can't put in? And rather unreasonably, I said no. So the Korean edition is 98 interview questions. You'll never feel again. So my whole working life has been in recruitment. I'm steeped in recruitment. And given your love of jokes, Harry, I thought I should share with you, with your permission, because it's quite a rude joke, a popular joke amongst recruiters. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
I'm taking that as an endorsement. And it refers to a question that is in my book, Why You, question number 4, which is, what is your greatest weakness? So a chap goes into an interview, and he's asked this question. What is your greatest weakness? And he looks the interviewer right in the eye and says, honesty. And the interviewer looks a bit perplexed and says, no, I don't think you can say honesty. I don't think you can say that. And he looks the interviewer right in the eye and says, I don't give a fuck what you think. Truth in a joke, my friend. So enough rude joke. My new book, Karma Capitalism, Why Being a Good Business is Good Business, is my first business book. I've written other books all around careers and progressing in the job market. And I'd like to do a little straw poll to test the hypothesis. If I was to make the statement, governments find it difficult to get things done, would you agree? Raise your hand if you agree. Governments find it difficult to get things. That's almost everyone in the room. My second hypothesis is, do you think too much wealth is concentrated in the hands of too few people in the world at the moment? If you agree, raise your hand. Not as popular as the first one, but I would say edging towards a majority. And then my last question, just because it's interesting to me, because the story that follows is in the book, is have any of you ever sat and listened to a mountaineer tell you a tale, perhaps with pictures and slides, about how they climbed a great peak and summited against the odds? Put your hand up if you've heard. Quite a few of you. Well, my book, Karma Capitalism, begins with a mountaineering story. But it's a different kind of story because it's all about my experience on the Matterhorn, and it is about pain, fear, and failure. And essentially, when I turned 50, landmark birthday, I was thinking about the second half of my life, and my son Harry had just turned 18. He was thinking about his future as an adult. We decided to go on a father-son bonding trip to climb the Matterhorn. And the Matterhorn is a beautiful mountain bordering Switzerland and Italy. It's also the Toblerone mountain, for those of you who like chocolate and don't like mountaineering. So it's a beautiful mountain, and we set off on this mountain. Anyway, the trip did not go well, and it ended with me having what I've called in the book, the opening chapter, my wake-up fall. And the story is described in the book, but it ends with me dangling on a rope in plein air from the Matterhorn. And the guide I was with, a friend called Stefan Gatt, he couldn't see me because I'd swung around a corner, shouted, "Are you okay, James?" And I remember thinking, well, I'm still alive. So I shouted back, "Yeah, I'm okay." And then I said, "But I've got a broken leg." And he said, "How do you know?" And I said, "Because my foot is pointing in the wrong direction." So, yeah, it was kind of funny. And he threw me a rope and got me to the ledge. And they called the Mountain Rescue Service from the Val d'Aosta in Italy. We were on the Italian side of the Matterhorn. And I could see this helicopter coming up from the valley below. We were way above the helicopter. And it was coming up, took ages coming up. And eventually the helicopter got above us. And I could see a figure being lowered down from the helicopter. And it was a woman. And she landed right on the ledge, right next to us. And do you know what her opening line was? She said, "My name is Roberta. Do you want to speak Italian, French, German or English?" I mean, I still think Roberta was an angel. And she put me in a cast and lifted me up and took me to hospital in Italy. And that was the beginning of what became quite a long period of recovery. When I was first in hospital, because my leg needed to have titanium put in it, which is very exciting, sets off airport alarms all over the world, and eventually got home, and I was in a wheelchair for quite a while I got better. Pushed around, I must say, my wonderful wife Nicola, who was extremely patient with me. But it was during this period that I thought I needed to think about life slightly differently, and I became much more interested in purpose. And I wanted to live the rest of my life purposely. I think because I spent so much time lying in bed, it gave me time to think. And our business, I wanted to lead more purposely. And so this was a few years ago now. But we set upon the purpose for our business, which is very simple, just four words, improving lives through work. And that's the purpose of Reed. And what I like about that purpose is every single person in the organisation can do something every single day to improve someone's life, even if it's just giving them a cup of tea or making them smile or laugh. So that is our purpose. But the other thing that we had stumbled upon, and this is all from our experience, was our company had a different DNA to other companies. And this is because of my father, Alec Reed, who also had a near-death experience when he was 52 with cancer. And he was given a 40% chance to live. And he did, in fact, live until he was 91. But he was given this diagnosis. He'd just sold the company. And he decided he didn't want to put all the money all the money into the wealth taxes that would have been paid. He gave it to a charity. So and the charity became a shareholder in our business. And it now owns 20% of our business. So we say at Reed, one day a week, we work for charity. And that works brilliantly for us as a business. It gives us a sort of commercial superpower because people love working in the business and our customers like it too because they know the money gets recycled into the community, into our society, through the charities we're able to support through our platform Big Give. So this book, Karma Capitalism, is a small orange book. It's deliberately kept short because business people don't read very much. And it's got pictures. And it's really simple to access the key idea. But the message of Karma Capitalism is we want more companies to become philanthropy companies like ours because it's good for the companies and it's good for our society. And other companies that are philanthropy companies include Lego, Carlsberg, Maersk, Bosch, Rolex, Lindt, world-leading brands. They live longer and they do a better job for us all. So when you don't want to see so much wealth concentrated in too few hands, and when you want to help government get things done, remember Karma Capitalism. Thank you very much.
This week's podcast was kindly sponsored by Baillie Gifford Actual Investors, who take a long-term approach to investing in exceptional companies.